Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Scotty's Vodka is Maryland made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. Few people better to help us bring in a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday than Mr. Brad Jackson.
He probably drinking some Scotty's now.
A Super Bowl winning linebacker for the Ravens. I mean, that 2000 Ravens team, those defenses are some of the best ever assembled. Brad, what up, man? How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? Good morning. And I can only imagine with that song coming on that B. Mitch is hopping around your studio in a Speedo right now.
Nah, fool. Nah, it might be you and JP, not me.
Fist pumping and party rocking because the Commanders are 4-1. Yeah, I mean, the fan base, my aunties, Aunt Isabel, shout out Isabel, my cousin Leslie, and all the Commanders slash Redskins slash football team fans that you guys have. It's actually good that the Battle Beltway will actually be entertaining for once.
So you, have you checked out the team? What do you think about the Commanders?
I mean, I think Jaden Daniels, you know, we all saw what he did in college, but we know guys in college, you know, sometimes don't translate as well to the professional football league that we have as the NFL because rent is due. Guys got to feed days to pay and take care of their families. But with the addition of, you know, new ownership, not that owners, you know, play, but they do a good job of also setting the tempo as our Mr. Bashadi does, as our Mr. Modell did, as JP was alluding to our 2000 championship year, and obviously the success we've had since ownership has taken over. It's a key factor, as you know, B. Mitch and JP. And so within, when you talk about them bringing in Dan Quinn, who is a great coach and a Super Bowl coach, a guy that knows how to get guys ready each and every week to play the game, and he's not going to be a bunch of fluff that guys are going to respect him. And then you have Adam Peters coming as a general manager and start transitioning and rebuilding that roster, along with David Blackburn, who you guys plucked from our building here up here at the Castle, you know, on personnel side. So it's exciting to see. I think it's one of the things that there's still going to be some pieces to miss, but we all know, you know, from where you guys, the Commanders, being right now, as the offense is explosive, it's right there with the Ravens offense. And these two offenses and these two young quarterbacks, I mean, Lamar's not young anymore, but I think he still plays and he's running around and looking young. And then Jaden Daniels obviously has to continue to progress. But the pieces of Brian Robinson, I know that excites you, B. Mitch and JP, you know, to have a bruising, you know, runner that he is. And then Terry McLaurin, obviously we've been saying this for years, is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So it's exciting to see. I mean, even from up here, you know, you guys are still, you know, the little brother to us, as we know.
I was waiting for it. Hey. He was being so cool and kind.
You see why people in DC can't stand them damn Baltimore people?
I mean, but it is exciting. And to see early in this season, we know there's a lot of balls in play, but that, like I said, it's, you know, these two offenses are, what, 1-2, I believe it is, and you know, the rush offense is 1-2. You have Derrick Henry, who's obviously new to Baltimore, and Brian Robinson, the second, who are just bruising type old school running backs that I love to watch play.
Hey, but like now that they have Derrick Henry there, right, how much different? Because like the Ravens have always ran the football effectively, but they did it by committee. Now you have a bruiser like him and Lamar still doing his thing. Is this a more effective way or what they had before?
Well, I think it's just a different way. We don't know if it's effective yet because we're 5 games into the season. Obviously, the first couple weeks, the Ravens were 0-2, and the running game looked non-existent. And then they go down to Dallas, and I think Commanders fans and Ravens fans will unite that Dallas sucks. And so they went down there to get their, you know, to kind of use the Cowboys as chicken soup and get right. And of course, that started with the running game. And then they ran for 270 yards on 35 attempts against the Buffalo Bills. And then last week, we obviously know that was a shootout, but the running game so had a big part of that. So to your point, you know, when you have Lamar Jackson, who's doing the read option and he's pulling it in, you know, Derrick Henry's, you know, belly and pulling it out. I mean, you can speak better to it being the great running back that you were, you know, how difficult that is. Cause I would always think for a guy like Derrick Henry that would be difficult because we know he loves to go downhill. He loves to stretch. You want to get him as a defense going sideways because that gives you a better chance. But when he's able to go downhill, get off tackle, and, you know, he's causing a problem. So the fact that they're able to do that with him and then get Lamar, he's able to pull the ball out at times and get on the edge. It's doing a lot of things that I don't think people thought early in the season was going to be able to cause the problems that it has for defenses, because now instead of having that lead blocker, now Derrick Henry, he's still being able to get the ball and get one cut and get downhill and Lamar's pulling it out, getting on the edges. Or they're even doing some tosses with Derrick Henry, which I think caught some people, on defense, especially in the Buffalo game. It caught them off guard because, you know, you're not expecting to see Derrick Henry, who's on year 9 or 10 in the NFL with 10,000 yards, still be able to take a toss and get to the corner. And then when he's getting to the corner, I mean, we all know he's 255, 260 pounds. And, and as they showed against, it's crazy. And then, you know, his health is a big thing. I'm sure you guys have probably known, if your fans have not heard of it. He talked about a couple weeks ago that he spends $250,000 just on his health. He allows himself 2 cheat meals, like, in the off season. So he's taking care of his body. He's had the injuries. But what the Ravens are doing in this running game, it's not just handing it off to him 30 times and allowing him to get beat up, hoping that he gets you 100 yards. He's able to get it. He's able to get it in, you know, 15, 14, 13 carries, where he's still fresh and able to be effective with his speed and power.
Brad, you were a part of one of the greatest defenses of all time. That 2000 Ravens defense is, I mean, it's them or the 85 Bears, right? If you were watching tape to get ready for the Ravens' current offense with Lamar and Derrick Henry, what is the design to slow or stop these guys?
Yeah, I mean, the design you have to do is kind of take, and it's a copycat league. You guys know that we've covered enough sports and worked together and you know, played it and so on and so forth, that it's a copycat league. So what's going to have to happen if you're on the other side, if I'm the defensive coordinator, and I know Dan Quinn's going to, you know, he who was a brilliant defensive mind and defensive coordinator, they're going to sit up there and come up with a game plan, which is, you know what, you want to eliminate, you know, the option in the middle of the field. So he's going to have Jonathan Allen, you know, who I still think is one of the top 10 defensive tackles in the National Football League, and he's a heck of a player. Love his motor, love everything about him. And you're going to be able to have him control those A-gaps, have that D-tackles control the A-gaps to the B-gaps. And then your linebackers, what you're going to have to do in the edges, keep Lamar in the phone booth, because I think when you go back and you see the highlights and you saw what he did against the Bengals defensive ends allow Lamar to get on the edge. Once you, and we have a saying we used to say, you don't want to let Superman out of the phone booth, because then he's Superman. So if I'm the Commanders and you're able to keep Lamar in the phone booth on passing plays and not extend plays, and he's not going to be able to throw the ball downfield, you take away the interior gaps of the running game, which is going to basically say, hey, linebackers and D-line, this is coming down to you to stop Derrick Henry between the gaps. And then have your defensive ends make sure and your safeties come down later because of Lamar's quickness and speed, and have those guys come down. So I would be playing a lot of cover 4, me personally. Obviously, you'll mix it up throughout the course of the game, because that way it's going to enable those corners to be more aggressive on the run. If it's double move, then you have safeties over top. And then if it's a run game in cover 4, your safeties are the one that's going to be filling in the alleys, on the edges later as the run develops. So I will be playing a lot of cover 4 with some blitzes. Obviously, 2-man is the best coverage of football with some spies. But I would make sure that the corners are often 2, you know, make it look like it can be man, but make it look like, you know, regular 2. And then I think you got to blitz. I think no quarterback in the National Football League likes heat and pressure. I think when you're stacking a box and you're bringing 5 or 6, you know, that's going to either chase them out of some run plays and force them into some pass plays, where you can show the blitz and then you can drop guys out and then try to confuse Lamar Jackson in the passing game. Because they haven't been able to. Last week was the first time that they've been able to get, you know, tight end Mark Andrews unleashed. He's kind of been, you know, I don't know if he's fully healthy coming off the broken leg that he suffered last year. And then he came back for the playoff game. He kind of rushed it. He just doesn't seem to be running the same way. But last week against the Bengals, they made a concerted effort to get him the ball. And so I think he's one of Lamar's favorite weapons. And so I think that's how I would do it if I was a defensive coordinator. And I know talking with other defensive coaches around the league, as I do, of ways, you know, how you would stop this offense.
Well, both of those guys run the football very effectively. And Lamar has shown he can pass it. But when you look at Jaden seems to be a little bit ahead of Lamar where he was at this time when he came in as a rookie. Do you think if they, like what people do in the playoffs, they make him throw the ball? Is he over that hump yet where he could just take care of it like that?
I mean, last week you saw he was. I mean, they just kept battling back and forth with the Bengals in a 41-38 shootout. I mean, it was looking like Madden football. And as a former defensive player, I was losing my mind because neither one of these defenses left the hotel to show up to the stadium to play football. Like, so, I mean, I think the only people that were happy were the gamblers and FanDuel or whoever does all this gambling because, you know, the amount of points, the over-under, and then all those other stuff. So I think Lamar has transitioned. You got to give offensive coordinator Todd Monken a lot of credit for that because he had that ability when he was at the University of Georgia a couple of years. But people don't, and probably your way, you know, south of Laurel and then inside the Beltway, they don't really know that this is only Lamar's pretty second year with Monk. So there's still some growing there. But I think, yeah, there's no question Jaden Daniels probably at this point in his career coming out, he's more of a pure passer because he did it more at LSU. And so Lamar did the same things he did at Louisville, which allowed him to win a Heisman, you know, the same way of him being just electric and him making plays and him making throws. I think all quarterbacks need to improve their accuracy. There's only one Tom Brady and Joe Montana, the guys that could just pinpoint. And, you know, you have those guys in this league now, the Patty Mahomes and the Josh Allens and so on and so forth, that are able just to put it anywhere they want at any time they want. So, yes, I think his passing has improved and his accuracy continues to improve. But I would agree with you that Jaden, just because of how he won the Heisman, you know, obviously there's some electricity in his ability to run and extend plays, but his passing is further along right now than it was when Lamar came out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brad, I got to ask this, right? You were part of one of the greatest defenses ever. The Ravens under Steve Bisciotti are just a model organization. Washington under Dan Snyder was the opposite and could not sustain success and had a myriad of problems off the field. Do you view Washington differently now? Now that ownership has changed, now that you've got Jaden Daniels, like, is this again a viable threat?
Well,
in the NFL,
I think it's still too early. I mean, we're what, 5 weeks in? They're 4-1. I think they're going to be built to be a viable threat. I think it's good for football that in our nation's capital that, you know, the Commanders, I wish they would go back to their old name. I know how people feel about that, and I know it is what it is. But I just, you know, like, the Commanders is fine. But, yeah, I do think that with new ownership always helps, as I was alluding to it at where we started this call with you guys. I think Adam Peters coming from San Francisco, which is a winning organization, you know, going back to when B. Mitch played and obviously my era, you know, they were kind of like, you know, whatever. And then now they've made their way back. So Adam Peters and how things are done in that family with the York family, going back to the Bartolo family, there's just a way of doing things. Like Mr. Bisciotti, he carried on what Mr. Art Modell had did when he was our original owner here in Baltimore. So I think all those things have to go in. I mean, we talk about this, and it's real for your fans. It's real here in Baltimore, where when you walk into that building, it has to be from the grounds crew all the way up to ownership, have to be on the same page. They all have to be locked in. And I think, you know, last year I had a chance to talk with your owner, Josh Harris, when we had the joint practices here in Baltimore. And he walked on, and I remember him standing there talking to him. I get introduced to him, and we're talking, and he was looking at our facility and was like, you know, like, wow, like, you guys actually come to work here. And and I joke with him, you know, because we know, obviously, he's done very well business-wise. And I said, Mr. Harris, you can buy this one and build another one. You'll be good, and I'm sure eventually they will do a new facility because, obviously, the facility in Ashburn is outdated, to say the least, and I'm quite
They've
sure
already
those
thrown
be
a
the,
lot of money at it.
Yeah, and I'm quite sure they're going to build something, you know, that will, as you guys said, it will help even make the franchise even more relevant. And along with getting a new stadium, I'm sure in the next 5 or 10 years, that those are things that they're going to be working on. Obviously, so and I hope they're viable. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to have a conversation, you know, with my own family who are lifelong Redskins fans and football team fans. Well, they never claimed to be the football team, but they're, you know, they're slowly coming over to being Commanders fans. You know, they still, my aunties still wear, you know, their old jerseys and they, you know, of those guys that they grew up with, the Hogs and so on and so forth. And so I think it's good for football. I think it's, you know, you guys are in the NFC, we're in AFC, so you can kind of have people that are like, oh, that may be my NFC team. And, you know, Baltimore is
One of our other producers, that's how he thinks.
Yeah,
but he's not doing it now that the Commanders are good.
Now he dismissed y'all.
Man, please, I had so many text messages this week and people asking for tickets and everything else. And I was like, who, you know, I'm scouting now. So I'm like, who the heck are who? And then I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go. And it's fun because I miss our banter back and forth. Obviously, when we were doing television, you know, with, you know, the weekly come in the office and B. Mitch would be over there drinking Red Bull and his vodka on Mondays. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, we all know we were all there when the Ravens in 2012 went down to New Orleans in the Super Bowl and B. Mitch did his show down there and you guys were down there. And it was fun. So that's the fun part of where we hope that one day these two electric quarterbacks and these two franchises would be kind of, you know, cool. How in baseball you have a Subway Series, that we have the Beltway battle, and I think that would be fun if it, you know, would end it ultimately reach in the Super Bowl in one year. I think that would be super cool.
Well, dude,
yes, that would be.
I got to ask you for your official prediction, Brad, but I got to ask one thing if you remember. B and I were joking about this. A lot of things used to get said and laughed about in the old Bethesda office, but one of my favorite moments every week was when you would walk in and you remember Goldberg, Rich Goldberg, the stats guy.
Yeah, Richie Rich.
the offers you would make to take him out for the evening and how red his face would turn at the offers, at what you suggested would be the evening's plans, were some of the greatest moments I ever experienced.
I still have Richie Rich's cell, so every once in a while I'll text him to see. He won't even respond now. I think he probably got married.
No, but, dude, I saw him this summer in New York. He is now, I want to say, working on CBS pregame show.
I think it's CBS now because he's with our Evan Washburn. Obviously, we all know Evan, too.
Sure.
Evan's a pretty boy, pretty face, perfect hair. Blue eyes with CBS, so I made fun of him. So
you made fun of everybody.
Yeah, and he and I'll see Evan next week at our Ravens ladies event that we do every year. He usually MCs all that type of stuff at the stadium, where we have a whole bunch of, you know, over 10,000 women will be able to come down and go in the locker room and the field, and there's a whole bunch of activities. And Evan always does a good job MCing and doing interviews live from the stadium on the field there. So. But we talked about Richie Rich last year that he was working, I think, on CBS because he went from ESPN. So, yeah, I still want to get him out in them streets now. You know, it'd be fun.
He would lose his damn mind,
now,
Brett.
Brett, I got to say, I deserve to be commended because you just talked about 10,000 women, and I didn't make a joke. So I think I really deserve to be commended
there. Nah, you
know,
some jokes you can't make.
Yeah, right. Especially nowadays. Yeah, some jokes we gotta just text me, guys. We'll make those jokes.
Hey, I'm not on that text thread.
All right. The Cincinnati Bearcat Hall of Famer, Ravens Super Bowl winner. What's your prediction for Sunday?
I think it'll be a close game. Ultimately, I think Dan Quinn's going to have something for Lamar. I think Zach Orr, our defensive coordinator here at Baltimore, they're going to try to come up with a plan to slow down your offense. I think it could come down to the kicking game. I just think that, and I know that makes B. Mitch happy, who, you know, as one of the greatest returners in the history of our game and should be in the National NFL's Football Hall of Fame down in Canton, Ohio. Hopefully you get that call one day, brother. I'm going to go 27-24 Ravens just because of the home game. And I think they're going to do some things with Kyle Hamilton this week that's going to confuse Jay Daniels that he's never seen before, because we all know the safety is—he's all over the place. He plays high safety. He plays in the box. He blitzes. He plays nickel. He plays dime. And I think the way that they use him could create a turnover somewhere that is the difference in the game. No disrespect to your Commanders fans, and if it goes the other way, we'll talk about it next week. If you guys have me on, we'll laugh about it and go from there. But I just think in Baltimore, you know, where the Ravens do hold the edge. I think was it 2-2 with Coach Harbaugh. And then I think Baltimore has a winning record. I just think the home crowd does a little bit enough, along with a turnover and a big play in a kicking game that allows the Ravens to go out by three.
All right.
Good stuff, Brad. Appreciate you making time for us, dude.
Be cool, man.
Absolutely, man. You guys are good. Love catching up. Love talking to you guys. Be safe and go Ravens.
All right, bro.
All right. Brad Jackson, an absolute legend. You ever get a chance to hang with Brad?
Absolute psychopath.
We got a Jeff Walker hype song at 11:45.